Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 647. It's the 25th of November, 2016. On the podcast today, Dr. Steve Staley, CEO of Upland Resources, that's UPL ticker, talks about their recent news, which was the acquisition of the 10% interest in Pedals 180 and 182 and the proposed placing to raise £2.2 million. Plus, Greg Kunzel, Managing Director of Georgian Mining Corporation, covers today's news. That has commenced phase one of a three-phase drill program at the Kavevo-Bolnese East project in Georgia there. Plus, also, Nicola Duke, technical analyst, looked at the following charts: Sirica Energy, Motive Bio, Solar Oil and Gas, Canadian Overseas Petroleum, and Keffi Minerals. Also, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Orosu Mining, that's OMI ticker, suggested by Groucho Marx, and I'll give you the reasons why Groucho's gone for that in a bit. But I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the website in the last 24 hours.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Steve Staley, CEO of Upland Resources. That's UPL ticker. Steve, thank you for joining me again.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Justin.
Now, you've had a bit of news out yesterday, and RNS came out. We'll go through the details of that. Before we get to that, I always like to remind people, give a summary of the business for people not aware of Upland or didn't hear the last podcast. So, Steve, give us a brief summary of what Upland's all about, please.
Okay. Yeah, we are a junior upstream oil and gas explorer and developer. We are listed as a standard listing on the main market, London Stock Exchange. Fairly new. We only came to the market just over a year ago. And that's what we are.
Marvellous. And you've got a good track record there. I've written a blog about you. I'll put a link to the blog there and people will read more in detail. But let's go into yesterday's RNS. So you announced yesterday you raised money via a placing. Can you give us some more detail? For example, how much did you raise? What the fund's been used for?
Yeah, we raised $2.2 million before expenses and issued just over 169 million new shares to do that at 1.3p per share. We've raised that money principally to fund our acquisition of a 10% stake in Pedals. These are onshore blocks, onshore UK. This is North Lincolnshire near Scunthorpe. 10% of those two licenses, and they contain the Wrestle discovery, which is going to be coming into production, we hope, early next year. So we're very excited about that. That's early production and also further production from other formations there following on from that. So it's it really is the really doing what we said we would do, which is putting in place these assets that will be near-term cash generative as the first phase of our strategy.
Yeah, and that's quite important. Like you said, we'll go into the strategy in a bit. So essentially, it's very soon that the drilling's happening. And what are the figures here? I mean, what are they hoping to pump out there? What's net to you?
Yeah, the drilling for the initial production has already been done. So this production would be from the Wrestle 1 well. As I said, it's already done, already tested, just some small amounts of further work needed to do to put it into a state to be a producer. In terms of what the volumes would be, the estimate is that initial production volumes would be 500 barrels of oil per day. And our share of that obviously would be about 50 barrels, 10%. And obviously as we go on and further wells are drilled to develop some of the other formations there, then we would hope and expect that our volumes would increase above that 50. So we're looking at, for a small company such as ourselves, the potential for some substantial cash flows from this.
Yeah, and that's important. I mean, because I suppose, when you've got cash flow there, you won't have to, keep going back to the market because the company's obviously just exploring all the time. They're not producing, so they keep having to go back to the market. So I suppose that'll help there. But let's, as far as the fundraise is concerned, it's quite a big fundraise for a company of Upland's size. And I suppose a positive sign that, existing investors and directors took a bit of a big chunk here, didn't they?
Indeed, indeed. A big sign of confidence from both of those groups, really. So yes, we have. I mean, 2.2 million is a considerable amount of money compared to our market cap before this, which was a little over £3 million. But just in terms of the directors, you know, before this exercise, between us, we owned about 38.5% of the shares in issue. That's not going to change greatly after this. So, you know, we hope that shows the confidence that we have in the company.
Yeah, Norza, he doesn't mess around, does he? He bought 1.6 million shares in this thing, and also he owns about 29% already, doesn't he?
That's right. That's right. That's correct. No, he put in. Subscribed for over 56 million new shares, as you say. So, I hope, you know, that's a reflection of the fact that we are doing, as I say, what we said we'd do.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the strategy, Steve, because you've mentioned it before. It's not something you just come up with. You have mentioned it quite a few times. And there's sort of two phases here, and phase one and phase two. And phase one is sort of nearing sort of completion, I suppose. Can you explain the strategy there?
Yeah, two phases, that's right. The first one is really to put in place assets that are close to giving us some revenue. Well, of course, we already had Hardstoft, which was a great asset, which, you know, we hope will give us some revenue in the not too far distant future. But the addition of Wrestle, that is nearer term revenues than Hardstoft. And so the combination of the two should give us that base that we were looking for in phase one, if you like. Phase two was to go out and secure those potentially bigger, perhaps riskier, but much bigger potential assets that really will be transformative for the company, but underpinned by the revenues from those phase one assets. Now, we've not been sitting back and waiting for phase one to be sort of... you know, at the stage it is now, before we go off to phase two, we're well advanced in looking at projects to go into phase two. And we've talked in the past about Morocco and Malaysia, and those remain our focuses. We are looking elsewhere, but those are very much our focuses, and things are progressing well in those. And not at the stage where I can say too much about them in detail, but just to say that we are very encouraged.
Yeah. So essentially, how I look at these phases is phase one, sensible, but you need it as a base, you know, cash generative assets there. Phase two, sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's perhaps a good way of summing it up, Justin. And we're trying to underpin the sexiness with some sensibleness.
Yeah, sensibly sexy. I quite like that. Okay. Yes. So, like you said, phase two. You're looking at Malaysia. There's connections there, of course, with the board in Malaysia, and also Morocco. And I mean, is there any sort of time frame on that? And also going back to hard stuff, when is work expected on that as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of Morocco and Malaysia, we've done a number of visits, and we are, especially to Morocco, and we're at the stage where, you know, we could be looking at putting assets into the company in the near future, you know, in the next few months from there. Malaysia, slightly longer term, I think. Before we get to that stage, but still not so very far away. And Hardstoft, then the first activity there would be acquisition of a small amount of new 2D seismic, and we're hoping that's going to be next year, and that not a huge amount, so it shouldn't take a lot of processing or interpreting, but it's a necessary precursor to the further work there.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as you're concerned, Steve, I mean, you know, this strategy is all sort of falling into place so far, and it, you're quite pleased with how it's going. Is that the case?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a great believer in hubris and nemesis, so I never like to tempt fate. But, yes, things are going to plan, and We take a rigorous approach to doing our due diligence, and we will continue to do that, even though, you know, assets are, as you put it, sexier, they still need unsexy due diligence.
Yeah. And I remember first when it came on, we chatted about Upland Resources. I mean, you know, you had a hand in a big hand in Cove Energy and Aited Energy as well. And you said the key here is due diligence, is doing the work, the work before the news comes out. You have to do a lot of work to make sure you have the right assets. And I think, you know, this is what's playing out here. And so exciting times ahead, which is unbelievable. People obviously liked that news update yesterday. I was just looking at the trades on Upland, and heck of a lot of buying going through, hardly any sales whatsoever, and even though the share price dipped a little bit on the place in which you would expect, the share price is almost stopped there, but I think the buys going through are quite impressive there. So it's obviously people, you know, are sort of understanding this strategy. But as for people who don't, Steve, people who don't follow Upland, could you sort of give us three reasons? At Vox, I cover the top five most followed companies every day on the podcast. Could you give us three reasons why someone should follow Upland on Vox, please?
Yes. Yeah. I think. Well, the first one is, look, you know, we're doing what we said we would do. To say that again, and the assets that we already have, that's Hardstoft and soon to be Wrestle, will be generating quite a lot of news as we go forward. It's going to be interesting stuff going on. And then the second reason is sort of a continuation. First, if you like, as the areas with the bigger potential in, so the likes of Morocco and Malaysia, they will be starting to produce news as well as we get those into the company over the coming months. And I suppose the third reason is a more slightly more general one. I think our sector, the oil and gas sector, and particularly the junior end of it that we operate in, is still a very interesting one. There are a lot of opportunities there for companies like ours to acquire interesting assets that have the potential to make a big difference to a company and therefore to its shareholders. And I think it's an interesting time for the sector as a whole, and an interesting company to follow.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Just on a macro level, I was reading, I think it was last week, the International Energy Agency said, you know, if more isn't done about, you know, investment in exploration at the moment, over the next 10 years, oil price could double. And cause so much money's been pulled out of investment in exploration, you know. And I was thinking the last few days, and I was saying this a while back, about a year back, I was buying Royal Dutch Shell. And I was thinking, now is the time, actually, when people are sort of focusing on the copper and stuff like this. And oil, you know, you think, that's right, you know, big money isn't going back into exploration at the moment. And he's thinking, this will only one thing will play out here, won't it, really? I mean, this is a lack of supply down the line there. And, demand for oil will obviously uptick. I mean, demand isn't slowing down. Demand is steadily increasing. And so you've got supply coming off. And so there's only one way this can play out, isn't it?
No, I think that's a very good point. People talk about peak oil, but even with a reduction in the rate of growth of demand for oil, I mean, you have to couch it in those terms, because overall there's still an awful lot of demand for oil out there from a lot of different sectors. If the majors are not investing in new major projects and don't for a couple of years, you will start to see the effect of that, because the lead times for big projects are in the matter of years. Then it's not something that you can fix. There will be at some point a dip in production, and may therefore, as you say, produce quite an increase in the price of oil.
Yeah. So interesting times. Steve, lovely to chat to you. Like I said, you are busy working behind the scenes there, and so I look forward to chatting to you again whenever you have some more news out.
Thank you, and the same here, Justin. Thanks very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Greg Kunzel, Managing Director of Georgian Mining Corporation. That's GEO ticker. Greg, thank you for coming back on.
Thanks, Justin. Nice to be here.
Yeah, some positive news there. Getting things done out there. We'll go into the RNS in a bit, but for new listeners to the podcast and people not aware of the company, Greg, could you give us a summary as to what you're about, please?
Sure. Georgia Mining Corporation is focused on late-stage development, exploration, and near-term production in Georgia. We have an 860-square-kilometre licence area that we have a 50-50 joint venture on. We have operational and management control of the project. Importantly, our local partner owns and operates two producing copper gold mines. And this is, I guess, the key for us. In particular, when we're looking at the potential for near-term production, given we have access to both a copper sulfide float plant and two gold heap leach plants. We've been working, particularly more recently, with our local partner to finalize access to those plants to enable us to move into production in the short term.
Yeah, and I suppose that's very important there that your partner has this process there, and because it really lowers capital expenditure, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, there's two main aspects, and yeah, you're right. The probably one of the most important is it reduces the need for significant capital and infrastructure spending. I mean, not only do we have excellent infrastructure in the region, roads, rail, power, water, communications, and everything else, but at our priority project, which is Kovemo Bolnese, we have a producing large open pit copper gold mine with a float plant with 1 million tons per annum access capacity, only 7 kilometres away. So it really does enable us to chop out a significant amount of cost and also time from moving from that late stage development through to production.
Yeah, and we also see, you know, junior miners and explorers are there. One of the main stumbling blocks is that funding, is it? It takes time. Sometimes it doesn't even come through, you know. So that's always a question and throw it in people's minds, and it's almost a doubt raised on a lot of investments. But you haven't got that problem, really. So, okay, let's go into the news today. So you commenced phase one of a three-phase drill program. Take us through the highlights of this, please, Greg.
Correct. So what we've been able to, again, and this is all driven by the fact that we have a plant there with excess capacity. Instead of setting ourselves an exploration program to go out and try and prove up X million resources of mineralization, what we've been able to do is we've been able to identify the excess capacity at the plant, as I said, is 1 million tons per annum. And we're using that to define our exploration program. So we've set a target of 3 to 5 million tons. That allows us to have up to a five-year mine life. It's also an optimal size when we're looking at designing the open pit. And it also gives us an optimal size of a pit when we're looking at managing grade control. So the drill program that we have planned, as you said, is up to 10,000 metres. Mm. We're doing that in a phased program. We've done drilling to date, and we've also got historic drilling on the site. Now, that work that's been done to date will generate an initial resource that we'll be in a position to announce to market very shortly. The first phase of the drill program, which is an initial 12 holes, or that may vary depending on the results we receive, is aimed at resource definition and extending the existing identified high-grade copper mineralization. And then following that, we'll move into phases two and three, which again is just building up on that initial resource. Again, with the ultimate goal of being able to get to that 3 to 5 million target as quickly as possible, so we can start look at feeding this ore through to our partner's plant.
Okay, and how long does phase one take?
Look, phase one shouldn't take more than 6 to 8 weeks at the most. Look, we are obviously running into the Christmas period, so there'll be a point of time there where things will slow down. But I mean, we've set ourselves a target for the whole drill program, a sort of a conservative target of 6 months. Now, we have the ability to speed that up as may be required. What we do want to be very careful with is that we're doing it, and the reason we've set it as a phase program is that we are doing it step by step, and we need to have time to assay the results, to model the results before we move on to the next step. I mean, it's not just a constant drilling to get to our 10,000 meters. But in saying that, we have access to two drill rigs at the moment in country. We have a very experienced drill contractor. We have a good team of people managing the drill process. So we're confident we're going to be able to get it done quite efficiently and in a very good time frame.
Yeah, I had images of the guys there on site drilling in their Santa hats for a second there, Greg.
Maybe. we'll have a look at that.
Yeah, okay, so it's all going to plan. Greg, I mean, every day on the podcast, I cover the top five most followed companies. You featured in there quite a few times. But for people not following you, can you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, look, it's probably going to be the same as last time.
That's good.
But look, I guess the three main reasons are we have a significant scalable resource, 860 square kilometres. We have a 30-year mining licence in a proven proven and friendly mining jurisdiction. We have been receiving excellent high-grade results at Kavemo Bolnese, and this drill program will really take us to that next step, being production. And we have access to the existing plant and infrastructure, which, again, I think really sets this project aside from others at this stage, allowing us to minimise capex and also fast-track the project through to production.
Yeah, and don't forget, you've got some cash as well.
And we do, yeah, correct. Look, we're funded through this program. You know, included in the next step are going to be scoping studies, resource work. So, no, it's an exciting time, and the next few months are going to see a lot of news flow, and we should be really moving things along quite quickly.
Lovely stuff. Greg, nice to speak to you, and I look forward to chatting to you again very soon when you have more news out.
Thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wake.
It's a Friday. It's not any old Friday. It's Black Friday. It's a month before Christmas. Last trading day of the week. Joining me, as always, is Nicola Duke, Technical Analyst. You all right, Nick?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, so you got a couple of days off trading. You're having a few days off going, grabbing those Black Friday deals, are you?
I am. I work for an American fund now, so I'm not doing any shopping. No, I'm having a really nice, relaxing day.
Oh, so it's Thanksgiving as well, isn't it? So that's why.
It was Thanksgiving yesterday, so I had yesterday and today off. Yeah.
Okay.
So
nice.
Well, to be honest, the markets get a bit thin and crispy over these couple of days, and so it's probably a good thing to be out of it.
Yeah, thin and crispy. Sounds tasty, that. All right.
I'm expecting next week to be quite sporty, especially the first half of next week. Month end, rebalancing could be quite interesting with stocks and bonds. You know, so many got it wrong this month with the American election. Yeah. So we might see some nasty trend continuation in the bonds and gold. And then I think we should see a really good bounce.
Okay. All right. Well, let's have a look at the stocks submitted for your perusal, for your annotation, Nicola. First and foremost, we have Sirica Energy. That's SQZ. What do you reckon on the chart there?
Squeezy. I still love this chart. It's a really nice bottoming pattern. It's an inverse head and shoulders from the sort of 2013, from the end of December 2013. You can draw a really nice inverse head and shoulders. The rally from the start of 2015 is really constructive. And what we've done since we re-tagged those highs at like 1630 is we're making a bull flag. So if you measure the decline from the August high, we should be looking for a sort of an equal measured move lower that we haven't quite reached. Like, I had 1277 marked as a buy level. That's a really good level because it's sort of the 2015 sort of October highs and the start of the year highs. It's good support there. I don't think we'll go much below it. We seem to be sort of correcting lower slowly while we wait for the 200-day moving average to catch up. I don't think, if we're really bullish, that we'll even tag the 200-day moving average. But the if you put an RSI, a 14 RSI on, it's really bullish. It's just heading up, crossing through 50, which is sort of the midpoint. So this one looks really good, and my target for this one's still 25.13. Now, what would say that we've bottomed and we're on our way? I would like to see a close above the 50-day simple moving average, and then a close above the trend line that you can draw from the August high that connects with the October high. And that would confirm we've bottomed and we're on our way.
Marvellous. Looking good there. Okay, so yeah. Sarika there. Yeah. Motive Bio had a bit of a sell-off. MTFB, this is, because they took much funding. They're looking to float in the American stock market there. But they raised some money and then they said they need to raise some more money. So MTFB, it's had a bit of a sell-off. But have we hit a bottom here?
Well, maybe. So the low, when this issued at the start of 2015, the low was down at 25. For it to have any hope of bottoming here, I'd like to see it close the week and then the month. So I'd like to see it close today above 25, and I'd like to see it close next, the end of the month, next week, above 25. And then, yes, I think there is a good chance that we bounce, you know, at least back to sort of, you know, potentially at least back to 35 and potentially 42. Otherwise, if we close below that 25 level, which is the previous low when they issued, I think we're probably going to go down to a really good support level at 1560. Between 1525 and 1560, then I would be a buyer there.
Okay.
So it doesn't look very good, but that's to watch out. Watch out for the 25 level, a weekly and a monthly close above it, and we might find some support.
All right, marvellous. Next one, very popular stock this week. It's been most followed a couple of times on the website here at Vox Markets. That's Solo Oil and Gas. Solo is ticker. They're looking very close to spudding there with Aminex as a JV. What do you reckon, Solo on the chart?
Yeah, Solo looks all right. Like it's you know, it's against the 2014 low. It's really trying to put in a higher low on this on the monthly chart. It's back above the 200-day moving average, which is also where the 50-week moving average is, and it's sort of making a bull flag pattern. I'm really quite hopeful for this stock, but it's a little bit overbought. I think that means that we'll trade sideways for a little bit. We'll maybe make a flag pattern, or you know, maybe a couple of little waves, and I think then it's on its way. It does have some resistance at 0.339. So 0.339 is, once we get going higher, which I'm sure we will, that's could be trouble. But then my target upside for this is the issuing low price at 0.57, between 0.57 and 0.59. But this one looks really good.
Nice bit of upside there in Solo if it breaks that resistance.
Yes,
then
definitely.
Cool. Canadian Overseas and Petroleum is next. COPL, another popular stock. Drilling as we speak, with a high impact drill there, just from Africa. So COPL Copple, what do you reckon?
Yeah, now I know the people long of this are going to be quite disappointed that, you know, we've looked like we've made a lower high, but it's still really constructive. So if you draw a Fibonacci retracement from the all-time high on my chart, which is 1850, you know, back in April, May 2014, down to the lows, we've hit the 618 retracement of that and retraced. Now, when you reverse at a 618, people talk about the golden ratio zone. That's between the 618 retracement and the 382 retracement. And what tends to happen is price tends to reverberate between those two prices. And then once you break away from that zone between the 618 and the 382, you tend to get a really strong trend move. So we're kind of consolidating our gains between there. There is support. We could make a triangle or a wedge pattern. There is really good support at 8.48. That's the September highs. And that's where, if we make quite a shallow correction, that's the Fibonacci projection there. So I would look for support. That's also, if you draw a trend line, you know, of the rally that we've made this year, that's also the trend line support. So I would look for support around 8.42. Otherwise, look for it to hold 7.84. And if not, I think we're going to see a deeper correction. But, you know, we got quite stretched from the 200-day. So this does look really good. This looks like a really good solid buy dip stock, but it's not quite ready to go.
Yeah, well, that would be quite scary if it went down there, because that's almost a 40% you know, pullback.
No. I really don't see it going much below 8.44. I really don't.
Okay.
But I think we could spend a month doing that. And if you take a look at the daily RSI, you know, we need that to bottom out and turn up again. So I don't think this will come back that far. And I think it's a really good one. It's a really good setup to buy dips in. It's the timing's not right. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. And the last is KEFI Minerals. That's KEFI. It's you know, it's been suffering of late because two reasons essentially. One, they've been in the funding for their mine there, for the gold mine, has been delayed. You know, it's supposed to be announced by now. And also, in the meantime, you know, gold is tanking a bit, isn't it? So you know, they want to become a gold miner. It's been in delay, and the price of gold is going down. So what's happening here, Nick? Where's the support?
Yeah,
here?
The strong dollar is really hurting gold prices. You know, but historically, you know, the Fed are due to hike in December, and historically, the dollar tends to top out. It's by the time the Fed actually hikes, it's all priced in.
Yeah.
And what you should see then is the dollar sell off, gold should rally back. So we've got a couple of weeks to wait for that to happen. And until then, to be honest, this is not a buy here, and there's nothing on this chart to say buy here, except that we're oversold. There was good support at 0.304, and if we close the week or the month back above it, I would say maybe. But for now, I think we need to sit and wait for a couple of weeks for this one. That's all. There's no, it's a bearish chart that's trending lower.
Yeah. So, but essentially, the key dates here are the hike.
Yeah. The Fed hike. Watch the Fed hike and the moves in the dollar. We could see some quite sporty moves next week with the rebalancing that I'm talking about. But, you know, it's possible that we retest those December 2015 lows, which, you know, would be quite unpleasant for people. I'm sorry, but I think we're close to the bottom. You know, we're very oversold. But,
yeah.
You know, that's not on its own a good enough reason to buy it.
Marvellous. Nick, that's lovely stuff. And if you could send me the charts, I'll put them on voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, and people can see them there.
And to all the lovely people who asked me for charts this week on Twitter that I didn't have time to do, I will be catching up later on today and I'll do them all.
Well, you can't be, it's a day off, Nick.
I know. I'm going to do some nice things outside today, and then I'm going to study charts later.
Marvellous. All right, well, have a nice day, Nick. Have a nice weekend, and speak next week.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is, and I've got to say, I've got to keep pointing this out, the stuff you hear in this podcast, any information you hear is just that, information, okay? It's intended for research purposes. This is not advice to invest. All right, please do your own research. Like I said, these are investment ideas, and ideas can be good, bad, mediocre. This is where you have to do research. This is information put to you, and this is not intended as advice whatsoever. All right, so the company is Orosu Mining, OMI, submitted by Groucho Marx. Thank you very much for submitting this, fella. Much appreciated. What does the company do? It's a gold exploration and production company. How many shares does the company have in issue? And 99.8 million, pretty much 100 million. And because of that, the current share price is 13.5 pence, and the market cap is 13.5 million. What revenue profit loss does the company generate? US 2.8 million net profit in quarter one, 2017. So 2016, I mean, obviously. How much cash and debt does the company have? $5 million US in cash, debt 0.3 million. And that's gone down from last year, which is 0.4 million. And there's three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, the cheapest profitable producer on AIM with cash and little debt. Two, all in sustaining costs below $1,000 an ounce for the last three consecutive quarters ensures profit and cash pile increases, even at depressed gold markets. And number three, all exploration and development costs are financed with profits, not through dilution or debt finance. That's OMI, Orosu Mining there. Check it out. Please do your own research. And by all means, if you know of a company you think should be on other people's watch lists, let me know. I'll share that information and give that information out there. By the way, if you need to do that or want to do that, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And you'll see a link in there, in one of my posts there, saying, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Please click here, fill in the form, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. All right, today's top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours are, at five, Macango Resources, MKA. At four, CloudTag. It's always there. At three, it's a new entry, Provexis. That's PXS. And know very little about that company. At two, Sirius Minerals. Are you serious? Yeah. That's SXX. Number one, the most followed company in the last 24 hours has been YOLO Leisure and Technology. YOLO is the ticker there. These are the top five most liked RSs on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, Dr. Steve Staley is on the podcast there, Upland Resources. And I've written a blog on these. You can scroll down, actually, on my blog post and read about Upland. I genuinely would think you should do some research in this company. Very interesting board of directors, management there. And they have a strategy which they're proving up. So it's UPL, Upland Resources. At four, Greg was on the podcast as well. Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO, commences drilling at the Kavimo Bolnese project. Always have a problem saying that. Kavimo Bolnese. It's a K and the V together. Kavimo Bolnese. Sounds like a disease of your knees. Oh, yes, he's got Kavimo Bolnese. I can't say it. At three, Sound Energy, SOU, successful 26.9 million fundraising in market. At two, it was Andalas Energy Power yesterday afternoon, results of AGM. And at one, the most liked RNS, no surprise here, on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours has been CloudTag's agreement signed with a US sales and marketing partner. That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Muchos appreciatos.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.